The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You from London, England, where it's gotten past 10 p.m., 10:07. I tell you, that's an interesting nonstop flight because we left at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon in Seattle. And it was kind of a nice day in Seattle. So you have lots of daylight as you're flying these. And then the night falls quick since you're traveling from west to east. And then you get back into daylight as you get into London. So we got in at 7:30 London time this morning, which was 11:30 Seattle time last night. So we'll be here today and tomorrow. Oh, by the way, Dave Wyman, who is just here, I believe Russell Wilson is going to be on with him coming up on 710 Sports. So Russell Wilson, exclusive one-on-one with Dave Wyman. Tomorrow afternoon, I will have an exclusive one-on-one with Seahawk coach Pete Carroll here in London. So lots of exciting stuff going on here. Lots of big stuff going on at home. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
As you've heard us discussing earlier this afternoon, the state Supreme Court this morning ruled that the death penalty in Washington is unconstitutional. Congressman Dave Reichert joins us live here on Cairo Radio to discuss that and more. Congressman, appreciate you coming on with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes. We might have a little delay in the line here. Give me, first of all, your reaction to the Supreme Court ruling today.
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm sure that's one of the reasons you reached out to me, knowing that that might be my reaction. And of course, my concern centers around the use of the death penalty as a tool for law enforcement, and then more specifically really focuses in on the Ridgway case. And also, I think people are aware of the fact how it may have played a role also in the Ted Bundy case.
Yeah, that if you take that tool out of the hands of prosecutors, then there's really not much incentive. If somebody has killed one person, there's really not much incentive for them to not kill anybody else if they think that that could help exonerate them, I assume.
Right. I mean, even if you're a suspect, a defendant in a first-degree aggravated murder case, and you know that the death penalty is hanging over you, you might be more inclined to cooperate through your attorneys, of course, with the police and the prosecutor's office if you know there's a chance you may be put to death. So in the case of the Ridgway, the Green River case, in the case of Ridgway, he, of course, knew that we had him on DNA evidence and also on some microscopic paint evidence, saw that he was more than likely the worst of the worst of the worst ever to be inhabiting this world, and knew that he was likely going to be receiving the death penalty. And so his attorneys decided to save his life. Ridgway is a coward, and mm-hmm. the only way out for him as a coward was to save his own life and talk about the deaths of and the murders of all the girls that he had taken from their families.
Here is what I've said, and maybe you and I have talked about this in the past. I have been very open with my listeners about my tremendous conflict over the death penalty. There is a big part of me intellectually and really faith-based that believes man should not take life, should not end life. But then I think about the victims' families, a couple of whom we've heard from today, or a couple of which, I should say, we've heard from today, and they deserve justice. And I know that so many of those victim families, they want the death penalty. And so I'm very torn on this issue. So help walk me through this, because, you know, as a conservative, I assume you believe life's sacred, and there are a lot of us who believe that it's just not man's job to take and end life.
Well, you know, God is of course, I think you and I might be of the same faith, is in control, whether we think he is or not. All power and authority that's on this earth is granted to him. And you might remember a Bible passage that says, give unto the Romans what is due the Romans, give unto God what is God's. And God allows us to make laws and carry those laws out in this world to protect and preserve peace and the safety for the people who live on this earth. And I believe that, and yes, I do have the same conflict you do at times, Dory, but if we're carrying out the law in a way that's not vindictive, that's not unfair, that's not unethical, that's not dishonest, we're carrying out a law that is in benefiting people and benefiting society. And if you look at Washington State's law, though, too, you can feel good about that, because only five people have been put to death since, I think, the early 70s.
Sure.
There are nine people on death row currently, and these are the worst of the worst. These are people who have already killed. The highest charge that you can receive in the state of Washington is aggravated first degree murder. These are not burglars, and their just reward or punishment will come when their life ends. So that's not up to us to determine.
Okay. No, fair enough. I have a couple other issues. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there are a couple of aspects of this that I find incredibly troubling. And one is, we've had the death penalty. Have we had the death penalty since Washington became a state? Do you know the answer to that?
1975. So we had it for a while, and then it went away, and then the voters reinstated the death penalty in 1975.
Okay, here's what I find so disturbing is today our state Supreme Court says that it's unconstitutional. We've gone, on and off, as you just said, for decades, for close to a century, on and off with the death penalty being the rule of law in the state of Washington. And when the same law that's been interpreted over the years very differently, when you have the Supreme Court of the state, which I believe has been bought and paid for by the teachers' union, by the Democratic Party, when they can today say something that has stood for 100 years is suddenly, on October 11th, 2018, unconstitutional, that makes me really nervous about our state Supreme Court as it's made up today.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. I think that we all sort of had an inkling that of what might be in store for us as far as the Supreme Court when the governor decided to unilaterally stop enforcing the death penalty while he's in office. So I think that was the first step. And then, of course, there was a call for a commission study to see what the effect of race and by county on the imposition of the death penalty. So I guess there are two reasons. Were one, that the death penalty has been imposed unfairly to minority defendants. And then secondly, which is the one that I very much disagree with, is that they didn't find that the death penalty served any penological goal. Well, of course, just talking about Ridgway, you know that that's not true, because it did accomplish a goal, right? So
now, I don't know
about
the tool. I get that. Okay, hey, before
I
let you go,
the unfair application.
Sure. Understood. Who's taking your job? It's going to be Schreier or Rossi.
Oh, that's why you want to move on.
Yeah, I got to get to that before I let you go here. No, I saw a poll today that said Rossi was 8 points up. I see an email from Rossi that says Schreier just sent out a nasty political ad, and it's the sign of a desperate candidate. And yet the national trend would seem to indicate that Schreier has some built-in advantages as a Democrat. So who's taking your job?
So this sounds so familiar to me. I think these were a lot of the words that were exchanged back and forth over my time in the last 14 years that I ran seven times for Congress. I think it's going to be a very close race. I think that, you know, when I had in 06, 08, I was not expected to come back during those 2 years. They were bad years for Republicans. But those same exchanges occurred then, and a lot of money spent on both sides to tear down the other party. And I just think it's, you know, it's going to be a tough race. I don't know who's going to pull it out.
Oh, man. You know what? How horrible that makes it for talk radio? Too close to call? You're supposed to give me a headline. You're supposed to give me something that we can send out, this exclusive that I got with Congressman Reichert, and you're going to tell me it's too close to call? Wow.
I think that both sides know that they're in a race.
Well, I could have told everybody that.
It's going to be tough, but I kind of think that Dino has a little bit of an edge with the name ID and the money. He's a good candidate, so I've endorsed him. I've been supporting him.
Okay.
Hopefully he's successful. I worked too hard to keep this district through the 2010 redistricting effort.
Okay, got it. I don't know if you've heard, but Congress is in play. That's what I'm hearing.
that was my
exclusive. That was my bombshell announcement today.
I'd be shocked if the House flipped, and then after this Kavanaugh issue, I don't see the Senate flipping. I see there's a possibility of the Senate maybe picking up a seat or two.
Okay, got it. Congressman Dave Reichert, always appreciate you coming on with me.
You're welcome.
Okay, see you later.
Have fun back there.
Yes, absolutely. Congressman Dave Reichert joining us live as we broadcast from London, but we want to keep you up to date on everything that's going on at home, too. Next up in the big lead.
I got nothing for you, Dory. What would you like?
I know. You know what? As I was talking to Reichert,
yeah.
I wrote down on a piece of paper to give to Nicole to text to you, Bizarro.
Ah.
But then I realized I didn't give that to Nicole. I've got it sitting right here in front of me. I didn't give that to Nicole, so I knew Nicole couldn't have gotten that to you.
Right.
So I thought I would see what you would do when I gave you nothing.
And what I did was I came up on the mic and said, Dory, I got nothing.
You know why that's good?
Why?
Because honesty's the best policy.
You know what I do have now? Something.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I just have to comment. I know you've probably seen and heard this because this is from earlier this week. And listeners sent it to me, but we're so newsy on Monday and Tuesday that I just didn't have time to get to it. But I just have to comment on this video of the family that's out on Puget Sound and some whales come up. Because I've told you so many times, Washington State was built by lumberjacks, by fishermen, by salt of the earth people. And when I saw this video, I didn't even have time to see it until today. But when I saw and heard this video, and maybe you haven't heard the audio yet, but it's a family, mom and dad, couple of kids. They're out on their boat on Puget Sound, and one of the most exquisite sights in all of nature, a whale. No, three whales come up to their boat. And what I heard in this audio is, frankly, one of the most annoying, depressing things that I've heard in a long time about just how wimpy we have become around here.
Don't start the motor. Do not start the motor. We're all right. Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, my God. It's going right under us, you guys.
It's all right. He's okay. Relax. He's checking us out. I'm not going to hurt you. Just
okay, the mom is freaking out. At least one of the kids is freaking out. They have one of the most glorious things happening. They are up close with whales. And, oh, my goodness, this made me just sick and sad.
He's right under us.
Oh, my God.
look at this, you guys. You'll never see this again.
You'll never see this again. The dad's trying to impress upon them how marvelous this is.
Relax. He's going to check us out, and he's going to go away. You're very intelligent. Relax. 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 Seriously. It's okay.
But nobody can relax. There's a whale nearby. What's going to happen?
Look at that. He's rolling. Oh, my God. This is amazing, you guys. There's another one right behind it.
Wait a minute. Let's get out of here.
Okay, then you hear one of the kids. Let's get out of here. You got a whale right there. Let's get out of here.
Fine. It's fine.
Okay, did you hear that? I think that's the mom. I'm calling 911. They're out on a boat in Puget Sound, and whales come up, and she's calling 911? What's that going to do? But she actually did.
Fine. It's fine. It's right under us.
I'm out in Puget Sound, and there's three gray whales right underneath our boat,
and I'm afraid
that we might get flipped
drive
over.
Drive away. Drive away.
Where are we, Derek?
Right now. Drive away, Dad.
Yeah, drive away. Hurry, quick.
Drive away. They got whales right next to them. Man, start up the motor. Let's get that prop spinning right next to these whales.
Drive away. Faster, please. Drive away faster. Drive away faster.
Gray whales right underneath our boat.
That's mom talking to 911. We got three gray whales under our boat.
Wow.
They're coming towards us.
That was amazing.
Okay, now they're speeding away from the whales.
They're following us. Oh, my God. They're following us.
And they're all wearing gang costumes.
Oh, honey, don't be scared. This is awesome.
Stupid whale. It's going to kill us.
It's not scary.
It's going to kill us.
Checking us out, dude. Look at him. Look at him. Look at how big he is.
He's like, go away. He's like pissed off.
I could have touched him.
Hello?
Oh. It's so depressing. You are an example of the wussification of our society. And not only that, they posted this video. They had so little self-awareness of how ridiculous everybody except the dad sounded. They posted the video.
Or maybe not, the dad posted it on purpose to show how ridiculous the rest were.
Well,
but I mean,
I wouldn't be very
right
proud of posting that.
The boat. She thought it was going to tip the boat.
Oh.
But 911, that's too far. Too
yeah, 911.
What are you going to do?
Oh, Lordy. We have become the wimpiest place in the country. We used to be the toughest. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We have an exclusive interview with Seahawk Justin Britt. How are they handling the travel across the ocean to play on Sunday? That and awesome audio and today's sign. All coming up. Deep into the London night, 10:33 p.m. here. It's that time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
And just going to do a number one here because I had a chance right after the Seahawks practice today to talk with Justin Britt, who's just the center of that offensive line that's been doing so great. And I just wanted to talk with him about what it's like to play overseas. And this is what I talked about earlier. I love the messaging here. I mentioned this at the very beginning of the show and a little bit with Wyman and Moyer. But the Seahawks have just said, we don't care. We're not even going to talk about this being a challenge or anything. We're professionals. You'll hear Justin say all of this. But I just think the Seahawks are the better team than the Oakland Raiders. And if they handle the travel, which is the same for both teams, if they handle the travel better, some people could use this as an excuse, as an equalizer. But that's not the messaging here. So I want you to hear my conversation with the middle of that offensive line that's doing so well, center Justin Britt.
Number one.
All right, here with Justin Britt. So first of all, first time you guys have played outside of North America. What's this whole experience like for you?
We kind of taken it in. We just got in and, we're embracing it. I love the place. It reminds me a lot of Seattle, the weather, the atmosphere. So far, it's been a great place.
All I have to do is talk, and I'm just out of it after that flight. What's it like for you guys to have to perform at peak physical ability when you get out there on Sunday?
We'll be ready. We'll be right. You know, we're professionals. We have great trainers, athletic trainers, coaches, and staff to get us ready. So we'll be prepared. You know, we're just out there playing ball, doing something we've been doing our whole lives.
Is it at all a distraction? Because you guys have been playing so well the last 3 weeks, and you know, obviously you've established that you're ready to compete with anybody. So is it at all challenging when you have some that is such a massive disruption to the schedule?
No, you find ways to not let it distract you. You find ways to have it benefit you rather than it be a distraction. So the flight, you get 9 hours to catch up on sleep that you haven't gotten. And so, I mean, there's little things like that. You can just go about it the right way and not be negative about it and just be positive and think positive. And, you know, your mind is a powerful thing, so it can take you a long way.
And the other thing about that is there's another team that has to do the same thing. And so when it gets down to the competition part of things, it's not just the football part, but who handles this better? And no reason to expect why you guys couldn't exceed in that level, too.
Yeah, we would like to think so. You know, you got a game plan for the game, and this is part of the game plan, preparing for this trip, executing it, and just going about it the right way. But, you know, I'm confident that we'll do things right, and we'll come out the right way. We'll come out with a W.
Okay, and just talk about how well your unit is playing and how much pride you take in 3 straight 100-yard games from guys behind you. That's got to be a lot of fun, especially when you guys were, you know, you took so many shots the last couple of years, and now everybody's talking about how you're such a strength.
Yeah, I mean, they talk, we don't listen. You know, kudos to our backs. You know, Chris Carson, Mike Davis, Rashad Penny, they've just been wonderful. They've run their butt off. They make it fun for us to block for them because they run so hard and they fight for the extra yards. And, you know, that's what we're about. We have a great attitude, and the way we do things is very vicious and violent, and we love that. And that's why we play O-line. That's why they run the ball, to be physical and to go out hit people.
Love hearing you say vicious and violent, because as we were watching that game against the Rams, man, it was obvious that you guys were embracing that part of it.
Yeah, no, we love the bar fight type of mentality. You know, we're you know, big, you know, physical boys up front, and, you know, we just want to go out there and showcase what we can do.
One guy who seems to have added to everything that you've brought for so many years and the other guys, DJ Fluker. Just tell me a little bit about him, because just listening to him in the post-game interviews, he sounds like just a really interesting guy to be around.
Yeah, he's pure-ass attitude. You know, him working with Coach Mike Solari in New York, I think he really – I don't know what DJ was like before that, but I see why those two gelled, and I see why DJ wanted to come here and be with Solari again. You know, he just fits so well into the system. He's a big human, takes up a lot of space, and like I said, he's violent. And so to have him and then have Sweezy on my left, you know, it makes my job easier inside. I know those two are going to go balls to wall.
I like those descriptions. Big human and violent. For a little guy like me, that's pretty awe-inspiring combination.
Yeah, I mean, but that describes DJ. That describes everyone. You know, I think it starts with Dwayne and his leadership at left tackle and what he brings to the room. And then you add DJ to the mix. You know, you have a good recipe for something good.
Okay, you got a week off after this, the bye week. What are you guys doing? What are you doing on your bye week?
I gotta worry about London first. I gotta worry about beating the Raiders. But I'm gonna be low key. I'm gonna be low key and get my body right for the rest of the season.
Okay. All right. Great talk with you, Justin. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Go Hawks.
Justin Britt with us. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Stretch we come from London, England, our first of 2 days of broadcasting the Dory Monson Show. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, all of my pals and I will bring you Seahawks pregame action as they get ready for their first ever overseas regular season game as the Seahawks take on the Oakland Raiders at historic Wembley Stadium. This game will kick off at 10 a.m. Seattle time, and that means we will be on the air at 7 a.m. here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. With all of that as mere prelude, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start down at USC, where a professor has come under fire, and students at USC are demanding that this professor be fired because the prof said in an email, accusers sometimes lie. What this professor said, James Moore is his name, he said, if the day comes when you are accused of some crime or tort of which you are not guilty, and you find your peers automatically believing your accuser, I expect you find yourself a stronger proponent of due process than you are now. And then he said, accusers sometimes lie. Well, nearly 100 students reportedly attended a rally called Time's Up for Professor James Moore. They're demanding that he be fired for saying that accusers sometimes lie. Now, a lot of accusations are true, but it's undeniable that accusers sometimes lie. And we have two stories here in our area. You know, the Bellevue cops who were just exonerated, charged with rape or investigated for rape by a woman who has mental illness history. And the prosecutor just a few days ago dropped the charges against these Bellevue cops. There was the story I told you on this show 2 days ago about the kid at Cal Davis who had made a friendship with a girl in the music department. They were both music department majors. One evening, they went to the dorm lobby with some other friends and just started jamming, playing music. And then he asked, can I help you bring your instrument up to your room? And she said, yeah. And then they mutually decided to kiss, and they made out, and there was some touching, but, you know, no consummation of things. And then days later, the girl is FaceTiming with her mom, and her mom saw her hickeys, and the girl felt shame. And so then she goes and makes a Title IX accusation against this boy, this 18-year-old boy. They were both freshmen. And they did a lengthy, several-month investigation where they're threatening this boy with expulsion. He might have to register as a sex offender. It would follow him the rest of his life, and he wouldn't be able to get jobs, possibly. His parents spent $12,000 fighting that accusation. And finally, they concluded, well, his account of what happened and her account are identical. There was no variation. They agreed that it was mutual. She had taken off his shirt and dropped it onto the floor. But days later, she decided that she wanted to reevaluate what had happened. So when this professor at USC says sometimes you got people who make false accusations, that's undeniably true. And yet the mob wants him fired for that. Speaking of the mob, that has become a real pet peeve of the left in the media. In fact, here's a supercut of people in the media, CNN, MSNBC. They're furious that the mob-like tactics of the people pounding on the Supreme Court door or screaming that you should get in the face of the politicians you don't like. Here's a little bit of that. Don't call it a mob, supercut.
They are protesting. They are not an angry mob.
We're a subhuman. We're done being polite.
Answer your question that you asked to her. Is it mob behavior? No, it's
not.
Hold the door, ma'am. You're going to get arrested.
He's created this idea of a mob.
But calling them mobs in the way that the leader McConnell has done is just wrong.
In the Constitution, you can protest whenever and wherever you want.
We believe
in it's a go watch. Put up the
a
video.
Mob. Stop. Stop.
Excuse me, ma'am. Are you trying to assault me? This is assault.
This kind of like racialized mob language, this kind of Nixonian law and order language that we're hearing.
The angry mob, the angry mob, the angry mob, even though these were just peaceful protesters.
They were.
Republicans are running on this idea that the left is an angry mob.
Wherever you come down on Brett Kavanaugh, describing protesters as a mob doesn't fit the facts.
That's not a mob.
Kill her 3-year-old child.
Which side was more mob-like? Clearly it was the Republicans.
The president is trying to go too far with some of this rhetoric, you know, his talk of mob rule and so on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brooke, have you been to a Trump rally?
Rushing to the top of the steps of the Supreme Court and now besieging the front door of the Supreme Court.
Sunday's foul piece into the abyss.
And finally, in today's sign, we take you to Greece, which is on the same continent as where I am right now. Greece has a donkey tourism business. You can ride the animals on the popular island of Santorini, but that is now going to end if you are overweight. Sightseers often pay to ride the donkeys up steep slopes from the shore to the island's main town, but they have now decided that you have to weigh less than 220 pounds or one-fifth of the donkey's body weight. And so the fact that we finally are getting some peace and quiet for those donkeys who are overburdened, all of that is today's sign. The end is near. Okay, that's it. I've said everything that I have to say for today. But I will go up to bed and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show from London, England. Again, thanks to producer Nicole Thompson, engineer Zach Davies for getting us on the air and doing such a great job. And we'll be here for football on Sunday as well. But until tomorrow, from London, England, we'll see you then. It's gonna get funky, funky.
Well, let me just say, as I ease out of the office I helped build, that there is such a thing as manners, a way of treating people. These fish have manners. In fact, they're coming with me. I'm starting a new company, and the fish will come with me.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.